Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar O'Duchon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, and D, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. On today's show, I'm going to talk about a common and a very important topic known as burnout. I will explain how Ayurveda views this condition and ways we can avoid it or prevent it happening. And I will also discuss how Ayurveda views the root causes and the symptoms associated with this common condition. Now, burnout is a real phenomenon. You may have experienced it yourself, or you may know somebody who's gone through a similar episode. The World Health Organization classifies burnout as an occupational phenomenon resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. Now, our modern society and lifestyles have one thing in common. They move at the rhythm of speed. Now think of the terms we use to describe our work and our lives. I've got to get out of the rat race. I feel like I'm on a treadmill, a roller coaster. Our lives are becoming busier than ever, and we are finding ourselves always short time. A common phrase I hear as well is, there's not enough hours in the day, or there's not enough time to do everything I need to do. And we've all experienced these feelings at some stage. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, our productivity is the heartbeat of our corporate and even non-corporate world. There's a value that is placed on output and achievement and ambition on the act of doing and getting things done. This is how we value ourselves these days more than ever before. And being bored or even daydreaming or not being productive are all types of activities that are frowned upon. We even pass the same message on to our children. And this doing, this constant doing, is exacerbated further by the advent of technology as part of our daily lives, social media, and the constant pings and notifications we're getting through the day that leaves our attention scattered. Many people would say that today's world is driven by pitta and vata forces, a pitta being the fire of ambition and of achievement, and vata being the constant movement and progress that we experience in our daily lives and in our careers particularly. We're always striving and we're always moving. Sometimes we just don't take the time to be still and the time to reflect. And when these forces of striving and movement, these energies that are taking over our lives, that when they become too excessive, This is when they can fragment or disrupt our energies and can leave us feeling drained or depleted. And ultimately, this pressure builds up, leading to cracks and strains on our individual ecosystems of our bodies and mind. And this leads to burnout, nervous breakdown, and ultimately a total collapse. We just can't go on. Now, what are the common signs of burnout?
Well, they are many and varied, and quite often they're missed in a presentation. You may feel you've got all of these symptoms, but you don't realize what's causing it.
Common symptom is feeling drained, depleted, or exhausted. And also, you may notice that you're reduced efficacy in your work, and you're overanalyzing things. You become hypercritical, particularly of yourself,
double-checking and not being as efficient as you've been in the past, taking longer to do tasks.
You may have physical symptoms such as breathing difficulties and shortness of breath, headaches, particularly migraines.
Your skin may be prone to sweating and you might be getting skin rashes. You may experience heart palpitations where you feel your heart is beating too fast or beating in a strange rhythm. You may also get some chest pain, a chest tightness.
And of course, commonly people experience, or you may experience, digestive issues affecting your upper gut tract with acid reflux and heartburn and indigestion, and also your lower gut tract with constipation, diarrhea, abdominal bloating, and excess of gas.
And on top of all of these symptoms, you may notice becoming increasingly more anxious. You may start to feel depressed. You may start to become disconnected or detached from others around you. You lose interest in your hobbies that you followed in the past. And you will just notice a general lack of vitality or lack of life in your system, so to speak. And this is most apparent in a loss of libido and a loss of interest in sex. And this can be explained through the Ayurvedic teachings, which I will discuss shortly. Now, how does Ayurveda explain the syndrome of burnout? Well, Ayurveda understands burnout to be related to the Pitta dosha predominantly. And this is the commonest scenario that we see in a burnout presentation. Now, Pitta, as I explained before, is the dosha or the energetic force within us, which is made up of the elements of fire and water. The energy of Pitta often prevails as most noticeable in the summertime, when the sun is high and the days are long. And this excess heat can be felt in the body and even in our mind. Now, the Pitta dosha, we need the Pitta dosha because it gives us intensity and focus and fire, so to speak, and it makes us dynamic and productive. You ever think of the phrase, and he's got fire in his belly? Well, this is a classic Pitta person. They get things done. They're motivated. They're energetic. But too much of this Pitta, or this Pitta dosha, can cause an imbalance which can lead to dis-ease. So you're out of your normal state where you're feeling at ease and you're experiencing dis-ease. Now, a Pitta imbalance can emerge from such heightened intensity when your system is overheating, so to speak. Like it burns up your ojas, which is your vital fluid that is the end product of the process of digestion that I discussed in previous shows. And Ayurveda views this ojas, or this vital force, as our innate vitality and our life force. It's basically what keeps us healthy and makes us strong. Remember I said before, ojas is a visual representation of the product or the essence which is left over from the process of our total body digestions, or Agni in Sanskrit, when it has passed through all the seven tissue layers. And the last of these layers is our sexual organs and the reproductive system. So our vital force, so to speak, our creative and our vital force in our bodies. So it's our life force essence, or our vitality, is what makes us glow, is what makes us look healthy. And in Ayurveda, this ojas is responsible for your overall health, your vitality, your immunity, and the resilience of your body and mind. And it is crucial in our ability to defend and prevent disease, including burnout. It's what enables us to endure any changes with steadiness and protects us from the negativity of others and the external environment. And it just encourages an overall satisfaction in life, and it's what keeps us healthy. Now, how does this burnout or this pitta imbalance affect our ojas? In Ayurveda, we understand that when we experience a burnout, we deplete our ojas. And as Ayurveda is an individualized mind-body system of healing, it's important to recognize that burnout can appear differently for each person, because each of us have a different dosha makeup of pitta, vata, kapha, and a different mind-body constitution. So we all experience burnout differently. There might be similar patterns, but ultimately the experience is different for each person. And this is because, as I explained, there may be a different dosha imbalanced in the burnout scenario. It might just not be pitta. There may be vata involved in it as well, and there may be kapha also. But commonly, it is a pitta imbalance that we see. And it also is different because we all have a different dosha constitution. That's our natural constitution. So the next part of the show, I will look at how each dosha is affected by burnout, which will give us a better understanding of how Ayurveda views burnout and the different ways that it can present and the symptoms and signs to look out for each type. So I'll see you back very shortly after a short break and discuss further burnout from an Ayurvedic perspective.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm talking today about burnout, which is a very common condition, and how it's viewed through an Ayurvedic perspective. And I spoke earlier on that the commonest scenario in burnout is a pitta imbalance. However, there are other presentations that burnout can have in Ayurveda, and depending on your constitution, you may experience it differently. So if we'll go through how burnout is experienced through the different doshas. Now, if you are a vata individual, where the dominant or the common elements are air and ether, which make you up, you will feel overwhelmed in a burnout situation, more easy than others. You will feel scattered from what you're distracted from with the task that you found to do. If you are a Vata type and experience burnout, your attention will become easily fragmented, and it makes completion of tasks quite draining and tiring. You might find that your boundaries are becoming too flexible, so you can't say no to taking on new tasks or challenges. And energetically, Vata types, you may be prone to short bursts of work and energy. Your stamina isn't the best. However, you can work very fast and are very creative and can get quite a lot done in these short bursts compared to the other dosha types. But you're prone to low stamina, and this can cause a problem when you're heading into a burnout of a Vata type. You will tend to keep moving. You'll spread your efforts thin over too many tasks and jobs, and you'll spiral quickly into an exhausted state. Now, burnout with a Vata imbalance will also make you feel more anxious. You will worry more than others. You will feel overwhelmed, like I explained. You get an insomnia and sleep disturbances. You'll be emotionally disconnected from others. You'll have mental fragmentation where your mind is going in lots of different directions. And you will also have digestive symptoms, problems that are typical of Vata, affecting the large bowel, the large part of your gut, with the excessive gas and bloating and constipation. Now remember that even if you are not a Vata type, you can still experience a burnout syndrome with Vata symptoms. It depends on the other things that are going on in your life that are causing the imbalance. But it's just that this type of burnout scenario is more common for Vata type individuals. Now, onto the Pitta individuals, those of us that are made up of fire and water elements. And this is the commonest type of burnout scenario we see. And these people are often, they're driven to burnout through their ambition and desire. And if this is you, if Pitta is your dominant dosha, you will do tasks and jobs with a focused intensity at the expense of rest. So you will be overcommitted almost to your tasks and jobs with too much intensity. You're like, you've got to get the job done no matter what the cost. And in a Pitta burnout scenario, you will be hyper-focused on productivity, on deadlines, on job completion. So much so, to such an extent that this burnout can creep up in you, kind of creates a vicious cycle of intense working without a break. A phrase you'll often hear from Pitta individuals like this is, I've always worked this way, so what's the issue? I can't see any problem in this. And energetically, a Pitta type person, if you are that type, you are prone to intensity, which leads you to push too far and you neglect your health. And Pitta burnout imbalances often result in you becoming judgmental. This is an early sign, even more judgmental, increasingly critical, including to yourself. You become more impatient, you become hyper-punctual, and you're easily angered. Or in the modern speak, as my teenage daughter says, you're easily triggered. You can feel overtaxed, and you wind up with an inability to decompress or to let off steam. And if you remember the phrase, blowing your top off, this is something that Pitta people do as a survival mechanism to avoid themselves becoming too wound up. It's an innate survival mechanism that Pitta type individuals have, to blow off some steam, to avoid a situation getting worse for them. Now, Kapha type individuals, those that are made up of earth and water elements, these, fortunately for them, are the least likely to experience burnout due to the generally stable and reliable, calm nature. However, as the dosha that tends to be the one that has the most to give, they are at risk of giving too much to their friends, to the family, relationships, and that leaves their own personal energy store, or you'd imagine your ojas, your vitality, it leaves it drained and depleted.
Think about filling a vessel. You need to be able to fill yourself before you fill others, and Kapha people very much fall into this trap. Their natural kindness and compassion and the instinct to help at all costs can leave you drained, your system drained emotionally, spiritually and energetically. So, and as well as that, the Kapha types are, they have a very strong endurance for tasks and activities, but sometimes they don't see ahead far enough. They continue plodding on at an endeavor if it's the even though they're heading in the wrong direction. It's very difficult to turn them around and for them to see outside of their focused tasks. So this is also a problem, but then it can be added into a burnout ways that do not recognize what power around. So let's discuss some ways that Ayurveda can help us to prevent burnout. And I will go through a number of different practices and tips and routines and habits. And many of them I've mentioned before, but it's particularly important in relation to preventing burnout. But the first and most important thing is to slow down and to honor what I call the transition times. Now, the transition times are the times between ending one task and starting another. Now, remember, I said before, we live in a culture of speed. So we just try not to get caught up in it. It's always there anyway, but try not to over-engage in it. If you're stacking your tasks or your in your schedule or your appointments back to back, try and buffer in some activity with what's called an intentional transition time. Now, this is a bit of a mouthful, but it basically means put in a little time for yourself between your tasks or your appointments. Just give yourself some space between appointments or jobs. It could be something as simple as having a cup of coffee or herbal tea or a short walk or a stretching practice or a brief meditation or breathing practice. Could even be something as simple as listening to some music, picking up a book and doing a short read of a few pages. Or just daydream and let your mind wander free. It's just important to give yourself some time to recuperate between demanding tasks or meetings or appointments or whatever you do on your schedule. And this requires focus to build into your daily schedule, but it's very, very helpful, very important. The second thing to do is to simplify your commitments and activities. So this really means you, in your daily routines and daily life, just release what's not essential. Have a look at your work, at your relationships, your family, your financial commitments. All of these things, if they're spiraling a bit, they can contribute to physical and emotional exhaustion. So have a look at things. Notice how you manage your energy. Notice when, and start to limit the activities that make you feel drained. Even some types of exercise can do this if it's the wrong type of exercises for that particular moment in our life. And practice discernment, or especially exploring activities that you have marked in your column, or your "I must do this" or "I should do this," that appear, because they appear energizing, yet they're requiring a lot of resources or a lot of time to do, or a lot of energy in your part to continue to do. So ask yourself always, why do you do what you do? And why do I continue to do what I do? Can I make any changes to my routines, my activities and my habits? And a good hint here is look at where you're starting to procrastinate around these activities. Because sometimes this putting things off before we do things is a kind of a body telling us, or a little warning that we probably should not be doing them anyway. So prioritize activities that elevate your mood and fuel your energy. So that means we need to look at everything we do and ask questions about why we're still doing it and what effects they're having upon us. Now, the third thing is very important as well, particularly these days when we're working in different working styles. Set boundaries for your work day and your day outside of work. The boundaries in our world are becoming increasingly blurred. We are all experiencing this. Post-pandemic,
the home space is often becoming the workspace, with people working a few days from home and then a few days in the office. The rise of what's called entrepreneurialism amongst more and more people working for themselves, and this phase of the gig economy where we're doing a bit here and doing a bit there. It's many of us then are becoming our own bosses. So it's making it hard for us to designate specific work hours. We're not working the typical 9 to 5 that we did in the past. We're working all over the place and all over the time. And this is contributing to this risk of burnout. So we call it a workaholism and pitta burnout. They go hand in hand. And we all can relate to this in some ways, because all our working styles and patterns are changing all the time. This all work and no play is no way to live, let's be honest. We all know that. And it's no point in having all work, and then 2 weeks holidays to make up for it, because that's not the balanced solution either. But more and more of us are finding ourselves in this situation. So how can we set these boundaries for our work and our non-work day? First and foremost, designate your working hours and stick to them. So write them down and stick to them. Like checking in and checking out. Or would you do the old factories where you put your slot in saying, I'm starting now, I'm in, put it back in when you leave me. Not checking your emails first thing when waking up or right before bed. And we all do this. And we've all got to be cautious and careful of this habit. Thirdly, not responding to people during the weekend or your play or off work hours. You can schedule messages to be sent the following morning by email of the message, and the phone settings are there to allow you to not have this blurring of your boundaries between work and off work. And disconnecting Kekenji. And we can't escape the modern world. We're living in the modern world. We live in this hot detention economy, and technology is embedded into our daily routines. There's no getting away from it. But we have to be able to take control of it. And disengaging from habituating ways of using technology is definitely a challenge. I find it a challenge myself. But the reward is great. The studies have shown that if we consciously limit our use of technology, we'll start experiencing a decrease in anxiety, a decrease in depression, improve interpersonal relationships, better sleep, deeper focus and concentration, and being more mindful and in the moment, as well as many other benefits. Now, some simple tips for unplugging from tech and controlling our boundaries around tech would be just leave your phone in another room, especially sleeping in at meal times. Use the do not disturb function of the airplane mode on the call. It's there for you to use. More often than not, we don't use it. So the cure is in the technology itself. And remove apps from your phone that are addicting, that you tend to fritter away time on. Put them at the last page of your phone, out of reach, or take them off your phone altogether. I think this is a good time to have a short break, and I will continue on with some of the tips and advice about lifestyle practices and routines that can help you reduce burnout. And all of these stem from the Ayurvedic teachings. We'll see you very shortly after a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back to the show all about burnout and Ayurveda, and how Ayurveda can help to prevent burnout, and even in a burnout situation, how adopting some practices and lifestyle habits and routines can help in renewing your energies and your health following an episode of burnout. The last part of the show, I discussed the importance of trying to unplug from technology and set boundaries to our work and our off-work day, as well as set boundaries on the use of technology. The cure for a lot of these problems is within the technology itself, and it's for us to find it and put it to use so that it doesn't harm us in ways that it can if we overdoing it. Another very common practice that is always recommended is breath work, or focused breathing, in other words. In Ayurveda, we call this pranayama. And a breathing practice allows you to reset your nervous system if you're feeling anxious or tense. And breathing is recognized as a lost art, which I find very strange because we do it naturally every day. But our breathing is becoming dysfunctional, and it is thought to be behind a lot of the chronic diseases we're suffering from these days, in that our breathing patterns are not breathing optimally. Now, when we're stressed or anxious, our breath can quicken and shorten and become shallow. And even as I'm speaking, I'm trying to make an effort to avoid that happening to me now. And breathing is the quickest way to bring our minds back to the present moment and the body back to a place of ease. And there are various examples of pranayama or breathwork practices that calm your nervous system. And with the help of an experienced Ayurvedic practitioner, you can be advised about which is the most suitable for you. Alternate nostril breathing, or Nadi Shottama, is very good for calming the nervous system, and I've gone over this in previous shows. There's another type of breathing practice called Shatali, or a cooling breath meditation, a cooling breath work practice, where you breathe in through your lips. And if you have difficulty breathing, you can breathe in through a straw. So then the cool air cools your system as you're breathing in. And there's breathing such as box breathing, which is called Samyutta, which you breathe out according to set time sequences. To breathe in to 4 seconds, hold your breath for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 4 seconds. And all of these breathwork techniques are ways to help us take control of our breathing and be more mindful in our breathing practice. And of course, in Ayurveda, we would recommend prioritizing healthy food to prevent any imbalance in our system which would lead to burnout. Ayurveda sees food as medicine and medicine as food. You see no difference between them. And this food or medicine nourishes our 7 tissues sequentially and gives us the strength to remain healthy. And when we are exhausted, it's easy to look for foods that offer false energy or quick fixes or even emotional comfort. And we've all done this in the past when we just haven't the time or the energy or the motivation to find healthy food or find and prepare healthy food. Important to avoid or limit use of caffeine, alcohol, and foods with added or processed sugars. Always favor nutrient-dense, fresh, local, seasoned organic foods. As I say again and again, soul foods. You're never going to go far wrong. And good examples of these are dark leafy greens like spinach, kale, and Swiss chard, which are high in magnesium, asparagus, which is high in folate, and avocado or ghee, clarified butter, which is important to help fats. Now, drinks and snacks that you can use are ginger, honey, and lemon with some hot water. It is very good to enhance digestion and has a mild detoxifying action. There's a golden milk drink that we recommend, which is full fat milk, heated gently with some turmeric or cardamom added into it, which is very good as a relaxant, especially pre-bedtime. A good natural sweetener is maple syrup, which you can add to baked nuts or seeds and have as a small snack, which is very good for cooling pitta or balancing pitta dosha, which is the dosha that's involved with excess food in our system. And dates have been used for thousands of years in Ayurveda as type of the superfood because they are sweet and grounding and they help promote clarity of mind. Herbal medications that I've mentioned in previous shows can be used as a form of a supplement to help support your body in times of stress. Ashwagandha is particularly good for a vata imbalance as it helps combat stress and it increases muscle strength and supports sexual health. Brahmi is a very good tonic for the nervous system for a pitta imbalance. And Gotu Kola is another supplement which was used at in which has a cellular generation effect and promotes manaroot approach and aggravation. And Tulsi is a highly venerated plant in Ayurveda tradition, but smear is holy balsam.
It helps as an adaptogenic effect to help reduce stress and anxiety, and is particularly helpful for body.
Another practice that's worth starting or having as a regular practice is to develop a yoga practice. And particularly for a pitta imbalance, you're looking at a type of a slow, mindful, yin-based practice, which is effectively concentrates on holding postures for long periods of time rather than too much strenuous and excessive movement. And the focus is on stability and grounding and ran loads of hot vata imbalance. Now, there are specific type of practices such as yoga nidra, which involves lying on the ground and in a comfortable, relaxed state and going through some visualization, using a visualization technique to help promote relaxation. These are all very helpful to prevent burnout. Meditation and mindfulness are also very commonly used to prevent burnout and to reduce stress. And they've been shown to have tremendous benefits in combating stress and anxiety and promoting physical well-being and self-awareness. And all of this will help prevent burnout and support you if you have suffered an episode of burnout in your renewal back to a healthy self. I always recommend or always mention massage as part of a daily practice. A grounding type massage, particularly if you massage your feet, is very helpful and it's good for promoting calm and relaxation, and as well as simply just tuning into your body to see if there's any problems in parts of your body you want to hear. And this is a long, if you presume my body as well, to touch our body with intention and faith, so we're mindfully and taking care of ourselves. And if you're able to get a therapeutic body bed massage, it's even better in a certain sense, because it's long been recognized in the Ayurvedic tradition that there are
pressure point to acupressure point similar to acupuncture, which are called marmapunks, the whole concentrations of all those energy allow for us. And if we get therapeutic massage focusing on these pressure points, it can enable our energy to flow more freely. And if there's any buildup of this tension here, our nervous energy can be released. Adding medicated oils to the massage experience give an extra effect as well. So, as well as all of these practices that I mentioned before, another really important one is to reconnect with nature and engage our five senses. I've explained in the past shows that part of the causes of illness is we are not engaging our senses fully, or we're over-engaging our senses in particular ways. And this could lead to an imbalance within our systems. So if we engage our senses in a healthy, natural way, this will promote well-being. Now, these are very common. These are very commonly spoken of these days. And there's a new phrase I heard the other week called ecotherapy, or earth-based interventions. And these are increasingly advised in our modern world, though they've been used by ancient indigenous traditions for thousands of years. They've always understood that nature heals. And it seems now that we're coming back to this way of thinking, that the cure for a lot of our problems is in nature, and how important it is to respect nature and to be out in nature to be able to experience this. And there's even shown studies that just even 120 minutes a week, which is less than a half an hour a day, can give out in nature, can yield tremendous benefits physically, mentally, and emotionally. Examples of different types of practice would be a walking meditation, or even barefoot walking, and walking slowly in nature and being observant and engaging all our senses while we're out on the walk. And this promotes mindfulness and awareness and grounding. There's no doubt that a walking sometimes can be like a competitive activity. If you're not careful, you have headphones on, but disengage from our surroundings. So the idea of walking meditation is the exact opposite. So if we can be much more in tune with the environment and the plants and the trees and the nature around us, even to the extent of developing a meditative practice where you sit and you look at a tree or you look at a plant and you pick a leaf and you focus all your different senses on the experience you're having by studying and meditating on this particular form of nature. It is recognized as a helpful activity. There's a lot of talk about forest bathing, which effectively is mindful walking in woods, where one takes in the natural environment through the senses as well. There's thought to be some benefit from inhaling the phenols within the specific forests and trees to have a beneficial effect on our body and mind in promoting relaxation and mindfulness in ourselves. Or even tracking time, not using our watch, but by gazing at sunsets, or sunrises, or even the phases of the moon and the night sky and the stars, so that we are aware of the passing of time and our place in it. So it's as if we put ourselves in the universe, or we're also within ourselves. So we're seeing that microcosm and macrocosm, the way that the world exists and we exist in it. And it gives us a sense of place and a sense of presence. So we're also, by doing this, we're engaging our visual, auditory, and aromatic senses. So our sight, our sound, and our sense of taste and smell, which can be neglected in our modern lives when we spent most of our lives in hermetically sealed, insulated buildings, and we're not in touch with nature on a daily basis at all, or connecting with them. Another practice that can
you can do is what's called fire gazing. And this can mean meditating in front of a candle, looking at the sunset again, or the sunrise, or even into a campfire. And we've all had those moments where the sitting around the campfire, gazing at the flames and having a moment of clarity or a moment of wistfulness or insight. And this is because doing this increases our fire energy within us in a positive way, which expands beyond just the physical digestion associated with the fire and water elements to the process of assimilating emotions, thoughts, and experiences. And it's very rarely you're in a situation like that where you don't have that. By gazing into a fire, by looking at the light, by seeing the colors and shades within it, that you don't have a moment where you're taken out of yourself, or that you can feel freer or feel your thinking clearer. Another practice is what's called a mindful water cleanse. And this may explain the vogue in cold water dipping. But this is more than that. It's a mindful exercise by bathing in water on a river or a lake or the sea with an intention of cleansing. So you use your power of visualization when you go for this type of swim or dip in water, that you add a cleansing element to it. You feel that you're cleansed as part of the practice. Another activity that's helpful is an activity of creating a mandala, which is a devotional image, an image that's commonly used in the Buddhist and Tibetan traditions, where you can, in nature or the garden, out of fallen leaves or dying plants or flowers, you can start to create this image. It doesn't have to represent anything or look like anything, and it's very good done as a group activity where you're mindful and you're putting things in a pattern and on the ground or in nature in the garden. And what I often try and do myself is any of your regular practices, such as yoga, tai chi, breathwork, meditation, to try to do them outside in nature. So there's more stimulus of your senses. There's always exercises, always better outside than in the gym. And it's the same with these practices as well. If you can be outside in nature practicing them, we get so much more benefit from them. And even if you're not able to be out in nature for whatever reason, you can visualize almost a sanctuary in nature, where a place that you've been before that you associated with positive memories, you can recreate it in your mind and go through your different senses and what it felt like, what it smelt like, what the touch was, the wind, and just try and recreate this sanctuary in your mind of an episode of time in nature. Now, lastly, I need to talk about tips that you can do to improve your sleep. And we understand in Ayurveda and in modern science that sleep is a place for a profound rest and kabul and for processing our thoughts and emotions. And this is where a sleep time is so important, that we need to have an established routine and have set that time and a set wake time. And they recommend the best bedtime is not any later than 10 o'clock, because this is when we head into our pitta phase, and we need those 1 or 2 hours in the pitta phase to be able to process our thoughts and emotions. And incorporating rituals, our habits prior to going to sleep is very important. So this is where the daily routine comes in. And if you can set your daily routine to go to bed a little bit earlier, chances are you'll find it easier to wake up and get it earlier. Have a regular daily exercise habit, so that you're a little tired when you go to sleep, but not exhausted. In the morning, try not to hit the snooze button, because your body is waking up at the time that it's used to. By trying to stay in bed an extra half an hour, an extra hour, you're not going to sleep and you're going to miss this productive time where you can be up. Also, eliminating stimulants from your diet or your drinks towards the evening time. Caffeine is the main culprit here. Mind your diet through the day, especially your dinner. An early dinner, a lighter dinner is generally what's advised. I find if I eat a spicier meal with heavier foods or more difficult digest foods towards the evening times, it can cause me difficulty getting to sleep, and rather than if I have a lighter, more easily digestible meal. Minimize any difficult mental work or any complicated technical work that you need to do in the evening time. This isn't the time to do it. If you're reading at all, it should be something light and should be something easy to read and not, that doesn't require a great deal of concentration. And have remove yourself from technology a few hours before you go to sleep, and try and keep yourself off news and things like that, because they can often send you to bed with thoughts in your mind that don't help or encourage you to have a good night's sleep. And this is very, it's very common sense advice, but I hope it has been helpful to you to discuss the concept of burnout and the Ayurvedic way of managing it, preventing it. And if, by understanding it, by looking at it from a different perspective, it can be helpful. And I feel that it's something that we all need to be aware of. It's a very common condition these days. And if we can prevent it, obviously, like everything in Ayurveda, it's a lot easier to manage.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree Fulon Fod Seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.